Well, it's a real honour to speak to you this morning. I'm really excited about what God wants to bring. I feel he's given me something of himself that he wants to pass to you and make known to you. The first slide says, known by God. And it's we've had a glimpse of the nativity, the story so far. I've had a glimpse of God's purpose, his mission to us so far, which has been fantastic, hasn't it? It's a wonderful scene. The rawness of the realities of the donkeys coming in, and it's just wonderful. So I'm really excited about speaking to you. It's about a story breaking in on us. And to help me with that, there's a guy called Glenn Scrivener. Some of you know him. He's spoken here a few times. He's a local guy, runs a church in Eastbourne. A real gift of communication. I've just got a clip from him. I just want to play now. Phil.
Every idiot who goes about opening every Christmas on his lips should be boiled with his own pudding, buried with a stake of holly through his heart. I like the darkness. This is cheap. I keep adjusted for the gloom, the creeping doom that soon consumes the earth in tombs. I hum its tune, assume its tone, and make my home right here, in the only world we know, this world of woe. Let others throw their festive flings. I think I'll keep my 5 gold rings. You have 4 calling birds, 3 fridge hens, 2 turtle doves. She loves the doves. Yes, yeah, shove it on the card above. No, never fear, my dear, I'll pay it all next year. For now we'll drink to Christmas cheer and deck the halls with tinsel bling. Forget what our tomorrows bring. We'll raise a glass of festive sherry, eat and drink and be quite merry.
Merry Christmas, everyone. What's your wish for me, my son?
A hamper full of festive fun, with snowdrops, rainbows, furry mittens, unicorns, and yellow kittens.
Santa's sleigh may bring them here, but were you good for me this year?
Why, yes, I think. I didn't sink as low as some, I know. Although, heck, no. Father Christmas, mind your own business. The kids might believe, but they are naive. I know for certain. I see through the curtain. But when you strip it all bare, what exactly is there? See, Scrooge looks darkness full in the face, embracing the chill, but he loses the will to hope. The shopper copes better, throws off fetters, wears garish sweaters, but becomes a debtor, spending now but nothing later, tending down into debt's crater. Santa offers Christmas cheer, the most wonderful time of the year, but is it real? At least Scrooge knew the deal with the dark. In this stark world, can we face facts like Scrooge? Then paint it rouge like the shopper, proper banter like Santa. But below the ho-ho-ho, can we know a truth beneath treacle? Good news of great joy for all people? Are we able to strip back to the stable? This fable made flesh, our maker enmeshed in the mess, to bless us, possess us, and be heaven's yes to our rest. To embrace us in grace evermore in our place, pledging flesh, blood, and bone to exchange a throne for a manger, endangering all to be present to you, to be God's present to you. If you're Santa or shopper or any such thing, if you're shepherd or Mary or Joseph or king, for this the herald angels sing. In him the light shines and all is forgiven. To you this Christmas child is given.
What I love about the way Glenn speaks about the nativity there is just the way he wants to take the wrapping off Christmas. We live in a society with some superfluous things. And today we're going to get to the heart of the message, the gift. And just the way, just to quote him again, can we know truth below the treacle? Strip back to the stable, this fable made flesh, our maker enmeshed in the mess to bless us, to possess us and be heaven's yes to our race. I don't know if you're like me, but when it comes to the moment of unwrapping presents at Christmas, I'm like, yeah, wonderful, open the gift, but give me the wrapping, give me the wrapping. I'm there with my bin bag in one hand, vacuum in the other. I don't know if anyone else is like that, but I can't stand it. The lounge becomes a mess of just paper and bits. And then it comes, I've got sort of 8 zip ties around the presents, haven't they? You know, you've got to undo this thing just to get to the gift. And you've got to find the right gauge screwdriver to undo the Allen keys, whatever. It just becomes a hassle. But anyway, my point is, let's get to the gift. Let's get to the gift this morning. So I hope I do that swiftly. But the message today is God has made himself known. He wants to make you know him and for you to know that you are known by him. And it says that in Galatians 4, verse 9. To help us with this, I don't know if you like fascinated by the cosmos. I'm fascinated by the universe. And there's some amazing facts. I just want to take us on a journey, because at Christmas time, suddenly we see a snapshot of Christ in his vulnerability as a baby. And that's it sometimes. We don't understand or comprehend the vastness of who he was, who he is going to be, and who he is now. So there was a guy, Charles Wesley, who wrote a hymn in the 1700s, says, "Let earth and heaven combine, God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made himself man." There's no other deity like Jesus Christ, no other deity, no other Godhead that entered into a world of filth, entered into our mess, except for Jesus Christ. He knows how we live. He knows what it's like to be human, because as Tao spoke, he has come to be our rescuer. In John 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word." And the Word here, John's talking about Jesus Christ being the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning. He was with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, but born of God. Ever since the beginning of time, the human race has rejected God. We see it in the story that Mary couldn't find an inn. Even before Jesus was born, he was rejected by mankind. His own creation, he was rejected. So this raises a key question. Is God knowable, and are we significant? So, let's start with the universe. I find it helps me get a right perspective of God. So, Jesus is described as light. Let's have the first slide, Phil. Light travels at around 186 miles per second. Okay, and light will travel in 1 year 5.88 trillion miles. Okay, so it takes 1 second for light to travel around the world 7.5 times. Now, this shot here was taken by the Hubble Space Telescope, and it was the exposure was for 500 hours, that's approximately 22 days, over a period of 10 years. And in amongst that, there's a mass of galaxies, approximately 5,000 galaxies in that one shot. It's not a mass of stars, they're actually galaxies that contain billions and billions of stars. This is the latest photo evidence that we have for the furthest point of our universe. So let's zoom out a little bit. And that last shot is contained within that little blue square, just there. That little blue one. You see that? Are you still with me?
Yeah. Oh, good.
So we are part of a huge cosmos. And this next slide shows the wonderful galaxy that we're a part of. The Milky Way. Isn't that beautiful? Our little solar system is somewhere just on the left-hand side. Okay, so just remember, light travels 5.88 trillion miles in 1 year. The diameter of the Milky Way is 100,000 light years diameter. It takes 2 million years for it to rotate, one complete rotation. And you guys right now are hurtling through space at a phenomenal speed. Let me just explain this. So, the galaxy is spinning in rotational speed of about 225 kilometers per second. Okay, per second. Whilst it's rotating, it's hurling through space at approximately 305 kilometers per second. You add the two together, 550 kilometers per second. So in 1 minute, you have traveled over 30,000 kilometers. If I preach for 20 minutes, you've traveled 600,000 kilometers. Dare I preach for an hour, you will have traveled nearly 2 million kilometers. Pretty cool, huh? Next shot, one of our neighboring galaxies. This is the Andromeda Galaxy. It's twice the size of the Milky Way. It's only about 2.5 million light years away, but it's part of our local cluster of galaxies. Next one, please, Phil. I feel like Johnny Bull. Do you remember Johnny Bull in the 80s? He was doing all the action figures and stuff. Wonderful, beautiful image there. The Sombrero Galaxy, 50,000 light years long. It's just a beautiful shot of the side of the dish of the galaxy. Okay, the next shot, please. Okay, these are called space nebula. They're a whole sort of a mixture of helium, hydrogen, and plasma, which are the charged protons, all full of energy, full of force and power. Basically, a generator from dying stars, and it creates huge implosions. And from those implosions, the dust causes basically stellar nurseries where new stars are born again. Next slide, please. This is a pretty cool image, again, taken by the Hubble Space Telescope. These are called the Pillars of Creation. Each one is 5,000 light years tall. But again, it's a place where stars are born. I won't go into the depths of nuclear physics or anything like that, but what I'm trying to do here is that this baby, this vulnerable baby, created all this, okay? Now, I know some of you will not believe in creation. Some of you may take the view that actually it's the Big Bang or the chaos theory. There's so much science and cosmos out there. Anything can happen, it's happened by chance that we are here right now. Many of us believe that in creation. And so we can look at these slides thinking, wow, yeah, I know God who made that. He's incredible. He's big. Next slide, please. Coming a bit closer to home. This is obviously Earth, and beautiful photo there, taken from the orbit of the moon, called the Blue Marble. So, let's bring this to scripture. Romans 1. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since creation of the world, and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. So the Bible is actually saying here that from looking at creation and things around us, we have no excuse to believe that there is no God, which is a powerful statement. Next slide, please. We're going to come right into this building now. Shoreham, next slide. Where are we? Coming. Right, next shot. There we are. Now the next shot is with our marvelous creator. God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only son into the world that we might live through him. So you probably, I did actually have a clip of Superman video where Superman returns, and it's an amazing clip where Superman's coming in through space and he pauses, he's coming through at breakneck speed and he stops, stands above the world, and then all the noises of the distressed world come into his ears. He just stands there floating, and the world of crying babies and police cars and just the chaos of the world just stand listening. He opens his eyes. Suddenly, he just shoots down, heads to earth. And everything's a pale shadow of what Christ has done for us. So you probably think, sitting there thinking, what has this got to do with my life, my situations, my circumstances? Maybe you're worrying about who's coming for lunch. Is it going to be shallots or anchovies or pure gravy or bistro gravy? I don't know. It could be anything. It could be that you're worried about the state of a loved one. Maybe you feel anchored down by anxiety, or it's a time of year where debt is astronomical, don't know how to pay it off. I'm in dire straits right now. Maybe you're just pumped for a good Christmas day, looking forward to hanging out with your relatives. It can be a very difficult time for many people. But the good news today is that Jesus came. God contracted to a span, and comprehensively made man, so that he could experience all those things too. He became human. God himself, who created the cosmos and the stars and the galaxies, restricted himself to a tent of flesh, became like one of us, the size of us, so that he could know what it's like to walk on this earth. He experienced abandonment from his Father. When he was on the cross, God, his Father, could not look at him. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf. Okay? God could not look at him. I've mentioned the word sin there. Just to explain that a little bit more, sin is basically missing the target. So if you imagine archery and there's a big target, you miss it completely. Sin is actually the arrow's heading the opposite direction. And it's a It's a powerful thing. It's given to the whole of mankind. We've basically chosen not to choose God, but to go our own way. The whole of human history is divided around Jesus. Our calendars are structured around the birth of Jesus. He's divided history. It's one of the world's biggest holidays, celebrating the entrance of Jesus to human history, the coming of God visiting planet Earth. So why did he come? Is it just a good time to be merry, indulge in the pleasures, escape from the stresses of the day job, or our daily routine? So why did he come? As explained earlier, the biggest obstacle before a just and holy God is sin. The fact that he who created us, we chose to reject him. Say, no, I don't want you. I can do it myself. Thank you very much. I want to be like you. I want everything that you have. I want your knowledge. I want to be able to create things for myself. But I don't want to know you. I want to know, be myself, have my own way. And that is the grievous sin. That's what we call sin. And that's the whole reason why Jesus came to us. Because in God's great compassion and love for us, even though we've chosen to reject him, he's chosen to make himself known to you. And he's done that by contracting himself to be one of us. In Isaiah it says this, it says, we like sheep have all gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way. I love this analogy of a shepherd. A shepherd tends his sheep. The word tend comes from the word tender. Tender comes from the word tend. So Jesus tenderly loving his sheep, looking after his sheep, caring for his sheep. But the sheep decide to go away and leave him. Because of that, we further read in 53, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of all. That's the iniquity of us all, that's Jesus. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opens not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent. So love in itself has to make itself known to us. When I was younger, sweet 16, I spotted this hot chick, and I thought, she's pretty good looking. I hadn't spoken to her at all. Hannah won't mind me saying this, actually. So, actually, it is her. So what did I do? I wrote a Valentine's card. Actually, I needed to get in there before my mates did. So I was like, oh, I've got to get in there quick. So 3 weeks after I saw her for the first time, I was like, send a Valentine's card. I was like, thank you, Lord, but it's February 14th. So I had an excuse. So I wrote in the card and actually signed it with my name. And I sneakily posted it through your door back in 1998. And I wanted to make myself known to her. I wanted her for myself. And that proved out all right. It worked. So what I'm saying is here, love has to make itself known. Has to make itself known to you. And this is God's message to us, God, a creator, who wants to make himself known to each one of us, who can relate to us. I'm going to read from John 17 here. It says, in Jesus' prayer to his heavenly Father, and the night that he was arrested, he says this, he lifted up his eyes to heaven, okay? The cosmos, the skies, the galaxies. He lifts his eyes up to God, the Father, and says this, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. The glorious community of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who we believe is, we call the Trinity. Probably heard that phrase, the Trinity, God in one person, loving community. Jesus is just remembering that. He can't wait to be back with his Father. Can't wait for that community. And that's what God has brought us. Jesus came to bring us into that community of love. To bring us together into the same community of God in three persons, God himself. I remember when I accepted Christ into my life a few years back now. And I remember something I can't really explain. I just remember recognizing that I was missing something in life. And there was something in me that needed to be filled, something that nothing could really satisfy. And I remember saying to God, Lord, I'm sorry. Keep it basic. Lord, I'm sorry for not wanting to know you. I'm sorry for my sins. Please come into my heart. That's what I said. And I can't explain what happened, but I knew something had entered me. I knew something had come in. And since that day, God has been making himself known to me. I've becoming more aware of who he is. It's going to take an eternity to know him. But more and more, I live with God for him. And we walk together in life. Coming back to Galatians 4 verse 9, it says, but now that you have come to know God, or it said rather, be known by him. Now it can't be argued that this truth of this hole in our hearts is something that we all have felt, or we currently feel, or remember. And I was just listening to the Brit Awards on Monday, and listening to the Kaiser Chiefs, Ricky Wilson's new single. I was just listening to the chorus, and it goes like this. There's a hole in my soul that could only be filled by you again. There's a hole in my soul that could only be fixed by two. It can never be filled, never be filled, never be filled by anyone else but you. It can never be filled, never be filled, never be filled by anyone else but you. He says, never be filled 8 times in that one chorus. He's looking in the wrong direction. He's looking to a woman. He's looking to for her to fill that hole. But he's not denying that there's a hole. He's actually declaring that there's a major issue with mankind. Ricky Wilson is declaring to the world, the Western world, that we all have a hole in our heart that needs to be filled, needs to be satisfied. So often earthly relationships will fail us. The things we crave and hope will fail us. They won't last, they won't ultimately satisfy, but there's a deep longing in each side of one of us to be known, to belong. And if you know the Maslow's theory, hierarchical theory, it talks about belonging. There's a real sense of everybody needs to feel that belonging. Well, this is why God has made him known to us, to bring us back to our Creator. And the things that we look to, the relationships that we have, not a bad thing, but when our satisfaction is with Christ, then those become more fruitful, more beautiful in the sight of God. C.S. Lewis said this. He said, if we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, then the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world. The opening lyrics to a song called 7 Years by Lucas Graham says this. Once I was 7 years old, my mama told me, go make yourself some friends or you'll be lonely. There's a real loneliness epidemic in our society. You've got the paradox of social media, have 800 friends, and yet feel the loneliest person in the world. I was speaking to someone I know whose daughter struggles with self-harm, major thing. And I was listening to BBC Radio 1 the other day, it's 18,000 cases of self-harm a year. There's a huge void that needs to be filled, a massive hole in our society, individual hearts, that only God himself can fill. He is jealous for you this morning. I want to tell you this morning, directly from the Word, God says to you, I have formed you, I created you. Fear not, for I have redeemed you, that means saved you, give shown you the way to remove this sin that brought the wall, an obstacle before the Creator and us, to bring us back to God the Father. He's done that by sending his Son, Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice for us. He says, I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. And the flames shall not overcome you. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One, your Saviour. I love Matt Redman's song, Mercy. To quote the refrain at the end of the song, it says, may I never lose the wonder over the wonder of your mercy. May I sing your hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. May we never lose the wonder of God, the revelation of him making himself known to us. The word hallelujah is an expression of worship. Actually, it means to rejoice, to be happy, to be glad, to be ecstatic with excitement for our God. Perhaps there's some in the room who have accepted Christ many years ago, and just actually, you have lost a bit of the wonder of Christ, the reality of him in your life. Well, God wants to make himself known to you again today. He wants to show himself off to you. He's got loads of himself to show off. May we never lose the wonder, oh, the wonder of your mercy. Psalm 33 says, those who trust in him, he will hold them in his hand and carry them all the days of your life. Isn't that wonderful? If you're new here, just looking in, just passing by, come with a family or come with a friend, I just want to urge you for one moment just to consider that there is a designer of this planet. There's a designer, there's a creator. Just imagine for one moment. And I feel there's many of us who do feel like they've lost the wonder of Jesus and we see him as a baby. I believe the Holy Spirit's here this morning, one of the three in one, the Godhead. And he has come to reveal Jesus to you. He wants to show himself off to you again. He wants to be your prized possession because you're his already. You're already his possession, your prized possession. You are his special treasure. He's named you. He's formed you. How can you not be? And he wants you to know that this morning. Ephesians 2 says this, for grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God. It would be a real insult to God if we felt that we could prove ourselves to him. If we felt that we could live lives doing good. Whether we're Christians or not, in every human being there's a sense of having to perform. There's a sense of feeling like we've got to prove ourselves either to others or to Mother Nature or a goodness ethos. We feel like we've got to do something to prove ourselves. But actually, the truth about God is that he's done the work for us. Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, took away that sin so that we could come to know God. It's a simple gospel. Paul in the Bible says, the gospel is simple. Respond to him this morning. So he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. I have to finish on this, just to explain the whole story. We've gone right from the cosmos, spoken about the word being there in the beginning. We've had the nativity play with Jesus as a baby. God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man when earth and heaven combine. That's that moment. It's the moment. And we know, for us who believe in this Bible and the truth of God and the promises of him, it says in John, guy who had a vision of Jesus, God revealed himself to this guy and said this to him. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to him, and on turning I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands, like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like flames of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. A cosmos thing coming through. He held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not. I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. So whilst we see Christmas portrayed as a vulnerable little baby, God in humility, Philippians 2 says, he appeared in the humbleness of a man, appointed to die for us. We know that one day he will return. In his all his glory, with his full deity that he had before the world was made. And he will come for those of us who have not rejected him, but who have accepted him. So my challenge to you this morning is, do you know that you've accepted God? and you can enter into that eternal relationship with him. Perhaps if you're not sure, then chat to myself or Matt or a close friend, trusted friend. But let's not forget the whole story. It's Christmas time. Let's not think of a puny little baby and just think that's it. It's a mighty God who humbly became one of us so that he can know us. God made man, who was there before time existed and will be there at the end into life everlasting. Jesus, the answer for forever, not just for Christmas. Thank you.